friends, let's be together in the spirit of prayer. God of grace, we know that you want justice rolling down like water. Accept these gifts from our hands, which we cast upon the waters of your love, an ever generous, ever flowing stream, feeding the hungry and helping those who need it the most. And we thank you, O God, for the ministry of this church and the ways that your Spirit is leading us. Accept these gifts for the work of your church in our community and world. We ask all of this in your beloved Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, as is our custom here on Communion Sunday, we dedicate our faith by sharing together this statement. We read together the United Church of Christ Statement of Faith, which you can find in the back of your hymnal, and the words will be coming down in the comments for those of you online. So friends, let us join together in declaring our faith. We believe in you, O God, eternal Spirit, God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and our God. And to your deeds we testify. You call the worlds into being, create persons in your image, and set before each one the ways of life and death. You seek in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. You judge people and nations by your righteous will, declared through the prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to yourself. You bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. You call us into your church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be your servants in the service of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world, and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. You promise to all who trust you forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, your presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in your realm which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, today marks the end of our current sermon series on the book of Exodus. I'm kind of sad about that. It's been an amazing summer reading through this book with all of you. I hope you have been inspired by Exodus and have been reading it at home as well as we have read it here in church, because what an amazing summer it has been in church reading this book and exploring this text together. We have been with Moses as he was called by God to go save his people from the oppression of slavery under the Egyptians. We've read about hard teachings, about plagues, read about Israel's deliverance from the Egyptians when the Lord parted the Red Sea, and then read about the ways that God provided for Israel when they got to the wilderness. He sent them enough food, all that they needed, with the manna and the quail. And he provided them, as we learned about last week, he provided them, the Israelites, rest through the gift of the Sabbath. And that Sabbath rest, as Jenny talked about last week, is for us as well, to embrace God and to live in fullness with God through rest. But today, in our last story from Exodus, we find Israel still in the wilderness. Moses had come down from the mountain and brought with him the stone tablets, the Ten Commandments from the Lord. After reading those commandments, the people dedicated themselves to the Lord and to following each one of those commandments. After that dedication service, the Lord showed up again and once again called Moses back up to the mountain to receive more instruction for the people. So Moses went up, and the cloud of the Lord's presence covered the mountain. It was like a fire that appeared, as the text says. And the people were at first very happy to wait on Moses, very excited to see what other teachings that Moses would bring down from the mountain. And then they waited, and they waited some more, and they waited again. And soon 40 days had passed, and Moses did not come down from the mountain. So that was torturous for the people who were waiting. And our story today is about how the people responded while they were waiting for Moses, and how their actions while they were waiting turned out to be disobedience, a slap in the face to God, who was the one who just delivered them from Egypt. So let's hear now this story from Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 14. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives wear and your sons and daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and he made it into an idol in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. They said, "These are your gods who brought you out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. After they had sat down to eat and drink, they got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have been corrupt. They have been quick to turn from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, whom brought you out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why should you burn in anger against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with a great might and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it is with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster unto your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, whom you swore to your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.'" And then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Here ends our reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Friends, let us pray together. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in my summer recap in the offering introduction, I forgot to tell you about a couple Sundays ago we had Camp Sunday, and I loved camp. As many of you were here and heard me share about my experience at camp, it was amazing. I had so much fun. Camp was truly a week that brought me joy and life. You see, one of the reasons I love my role here at Old South is I get to be involved in the youth group and camp, and I get to see youth and students grow in their faith and their love with one another as they share with each other in the small groups and as they play the fun and silly games at camp. I love participating in those things too, it's great. One of my favorite camp games to watch at camp was the big relay race that they had. This was a relay race that went around the whole camp, so imagine 100 teams, four color teams all separated, and just mass chaos happening around the camp at one time. This was a relay race, and I loved watching it happen. It was epic. Well, one thing about competing in a relay race, though, that can be a little stressful is you have to wait a little bit. You have to wait for your turn to come up, and it can get a little long, especially when you are running around the whole camp, right? It can get to be a long time waiting. You have to be attentive. You have to pay attention to what's going on. Waiting is hard for all of us, but for teenagers especially, waiting can seem impossible, especially without a cell phone, right? They don't have phones at camp. So imagine waiting without a cell phone. It's hard. So during the race, a student that I was talking with, she was in one of the very last stations of the relay race, like the last one right before the finish line. So it was her job to like run straight to the finish line. So she had a very important role, and she had to wait a long time. There was about 10 stations before her. So I asked her, like, how's the race going? And she commented to me how it seemed agonizing to wait. She just wanted to run. She was a runner. Cross-country runner, she was put at the last spot for a reason, she's fast. But being last was stressful for her, but with a huge smile on her face, she said that crossing that finish line and hearing the others cheer will be worth the wait. So it seems the sense of accomplishment to her was what was getting her through the waiting. And I learned from hearing that comment from her how hard waiting is for me as well. The waiting is, it can be just excruciating to wait for something you really long for, right? Waiting for fall is so hard that Dunkin' Donuts decided to release pumpkin spice way back in the middle of August. I mean, I saw the signs come up, I was like, it's still the dead of summer. Why are we drinking pumpkin spice lattes right now? It's because we can't wait for fall to happen. We want that pumpkin spice as fast as we can get it. Waiting in traffic is hard. I don't even want to know the amount of time I've spent waiting to get through the Tip O'Neill Tunnel this summer. I don't want to know because the waiting has been a long time. I've always driven through that tunnel at the wrong times. Waiting until October 21st is very hard for me because that is when Taylor Swift's new album comes out and she decides to release that information 2 months before that date. How am I supposed to wait, Taylor? Waiting is hard. Waiting on earthly things is stressful, but it also can be extremely difficult to wait on God as well. Waiting on a prayer to be answered, waiting for good news to happen in our lives, waiting for God to show up when we've asked. It's difficult to wait. And I think the hard lessons in waiting in our passage today remind us just how easy it is for us to get distracted while waiting like the Israelites did. But I'm reminded through Moses' interaction with God and through the message of this passage that waiting is part of the process of faith. Waiting can increase our faith because we don't wait alone, for God is there with us waiting. The Israelites waited and waited and waited on Moses to come back down from the mountain, but he didn't come down. They grew impatient. Something must have happened to him, they said. Maybe he had died. In any case, they were done waiting. And so the mob confronted Moses' brother Aaron, who was second in command, supposed to watch over the people while Moses was gone. And they said, we don't know what's happened to Moses, so you make a God for us. And Aaron created a new representative for God, and that was the golden calf. In Egypt, the calf or the bull was a sign of fertility. Archaeologists have uncovered images or statues of calves or bulls that were used in worship in many ancient religious sites from biblical times. So both that was both within Israel and the surrounding cultures. So this was a thing that was common in the culture back then. And they made the calf equal to God. It might have started off innocent of making the calf a representative of God. Maybe the new Moses was supposed to be their intent with the calf. But then they took it a little too far and made the calf equal to God, which was a grave offense. They worshiped the calf in place of the true God who had brought them out of Egypt. As I was reading over the passage this week and studying it over and over again, I asked myself, how could the Israelites just do this? God has done amazing things to them. You remember, we read the story of God parting the Red Sea. They have seen great miracles. They've seen manna and quail fall from heaven and God giving them as much as they need. How could they just turn their backs so quickly on God? You may be asking the same question right now. But as soon as I asked this question out loud, I thought of the reality in my own life that I do the same thing as the Israelites here. How often do I grow impatient with God in my life and tend to get distracted and make my phone an idol, make other things in my life an idol? How often do I do that? I'm not worshiping a golden calf, but I'm making other things my idol. And so maybe I'm not the only one who struggles with that. Maybe you can relate to making things an idol or growing impatient waiting on God. Waiting increases our faith because it allows us to have a deeper connection to God and to others because we all wait together. We don't wait alone. God waits with us. God was with the Israelites down off the mountain as well as being on the mountain because God's omnipresent. He could be with Moses and be with the Israelites at the same time. But in their frustration of waiting, they couldn't see God. And they didn't try reaching out to him. So that's a lesson for us. May we never forget that we don't wait alone, that God wants to hear our waiting struggles. And in this community of faith, we are all waiting together on something, right? So we all need each other in this time of waiting. And so we rely on each other in the waiting and in the frustrations of waiting. Because I believe what we do while we wait reveals what kind of faith we have. So how will you wait? How will you wait for your prayers to be answered? We can choose, like the Israelites, to turn our back on God because it's taking too long and we're growing impatient. Or we can choose to trust that God is there and he has not forgotten about us in our time of waiting. You see, faith in waiting is both risk and trust. It's a risk for us to pray and to give our concerns to God and to be vulnerable with God. But there has to be a trust, too, that God will act, that God will do what he says he is going to do. There will be waiting, but God will always provide. Moses, in our story, had that kind of faith in God. He knew that God was gracious, and that's why he pleaded an intercessory prayer that God would spare the lives of his people. Even though they had just disobeyed God, broken two of the commandments that God had just given them, Moses knew God would spare the people. He knew God's grace. God has been faithful, and he will be again. It's that trust that leads us onward. It's that trust that meets us right where we are in our waiting. So our waiting can be holy, not passive. Our waiting allows us to come together as a community and support each other. And when we take that opportunity, we are ready for whatever God has for us next. Even as we wait, God sees us, God loves us, and he plans great things for us, far more than we could ever ask for. So friends, remember, in the hard times of waiting, you are not alone, and God will be with you in the waiting. So together, let us wait upon the Lord and cast all of our fears, all of our anxieties on Him, because God has been faithful, and He will be again. Amen. Friends, our communion hymn today is titled, If You Would Only Let God Guide You. For those of you here in the sanctuary, you will find that in the green hymnal. And for those of you joining from home, the words of the song will be coming down into the comments below. And let's join together in praising our God.